long as there's Christmas, I truly believe that hope is the greatest of the gifts we'll receive. As long as there's Christmas, we'll all be just fine.
Welcome to the Disney Magic Podcast. I'm Joel.
And I'm Megan.
And we like to talk about Christmas things.
Okay. Go with it.
Well, okay. That's my little thing. Because I think it's really important that you know before this podcast that I really love Christmas.
Joel loves Christmas more than the average human being.
Yes. The way most people like Halloween, I like Christmas.
I think Joel's also has a very large mission search about how much people like Halloween.
Everybody talks about how much they like Halloween. Everybody that's over, like, 12.
Okay.
They're like, most people like Christmas, but I like Halloween. I've heard that so many times in my life.
I like Christmas and Halloween.
But what's your favorite, Megan?
Halloween is my favorite because... Joel's not gonna pose. Halloween is my favorite because I'm a cosplayer and I like dressing up a lot. You can't really dress up on Christmas unless you're Santa Claus. And if you tell me I make a good Santa Claus, I will honest to God punch you in the jaw.
Well, I like Christmas.
I like Christmas too.
I absolutely adore Christmas and Christmas movies and Christmas songs and Beauty and the Beast and The Enchanted Christmas.
He does. It's true.
It's my favorite of the Disney sequels. And part of this is also... Even though, you know, it's often held up for a lot of people as the worst Disney sequel and the prime example about how Disney sequels are terrible. And, you know, obviously it's not on par with the, you know, actual Disney movies. But I think a lot of that is because Beauty and the Beast is everybody's favorite. And proportionally, because like, I don't like Lion King 2 that much. And that's one that a lot of people hold up as not so bad.
Beauty and the Beast is not my favorite. I really don't like this movie.
This movie's amazing because of Christmas.
Because of Christmas.
Oh. All right. Beauty and the Beast, The Enchanted Christmas came out November 11th, 1997. You know, on video. Because it never saw a theater screen. It is the fourth highest grossing direct-to-video animated film. Right behind King of Thieves. Originally... This movie was going to be an actual sequel, and it was going to feature Gaston's younger brother, whose name is Avient. It's the same guy, it's the name of the guy in the 1946 film. The 1946.
Avignon.
Sure. Okay. So, it's the villain from the 1946 film, which Gaston is based on. So, they were going to do that, but then they decided that... It would, you know, lack the magic and mystique of the original, and also they'd have to make new character designs. So they made a midquel and decided to set it at Christmas. And it was originally going to be called Beauty and the Beast, The Christmas Bell. B-E-L-L-E.
Oh.
So.
Okay, at least Enchanted Christmas is the much better title.
Now it's called Enchanted Christmas. All right, so.
Christmas Bell. I'm sorry. You gotta give me a second to fathom that awful title. Okay, I'm done. Okay.
Yeah. You wait. Alright. So, Beauty and the Beast, Enchanted Christmas, opens with Deck the Halls.
Carolers.
Yes. It's Christmas time. I guess it's like less than a year after the curse has been broken.
Yeah.
Like, they're really actually pretty good about exactly where this goes in the lineup, like when Miss Claus is talking, she's like, this is right before the wolves happen, right after the wolves happen.
Yeah, she's
like,
is.
Thanks, that's really helpful.
That's pretty convenient.
So, but they're having a wonderful party.
Yeah.
And then, oh, Chip got a book.
Chip got a book. Chip can read.
Yep.
Lord knows if the beast still can.
I don't know.
Chip's like, fine. Just saying. Anyway, okay, so that it's Christmas time.
Yeah.
It's Christmas time, and Belle's really excited. And...
It's what, the day before Christmas? This whole movie takes place over, like, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
It was a really traumatic day.
She had time to make a whole book.
No, I think it's No, she does say it's Christmas Eve in the beginning.
Yeah, yeah, that's the whole beginning. It's like, what day is it? It's not Tuesday. Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Jim. That's useful.
Because it's the day before Christmas.
Kevin just says it's not Tuesday. It's like one other day in the week. Like, oh, well, it's not Tuesday, so it must be Monday. Like,
it's the process of elimination.
Man, no, he's like five, but still. Yeah, okay, they go ice skating.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they open it up with...
Oh, but we get to see Coat Rack. I like Coat Rack.
You get to see Coat Rack.
If you have not heard our Disney Beauty and the Beast podcast, you do not know of our loving endearance of Coat Rack.
Coat Rack
may or may not be a person.
Has a wild and crazy backstory.
He's so good. I just want Coat Rack the sequel. Coat Rack and Kronk,
crazy camping adventures. Oh, I can't find another K noise.
Wiggins. Coat Rack, Kronk, and Wiggins. That'd be the worst and best movie ever.
That would be terrible.
They could hang out with Maximus. It'd be awesome.
It'd be just a Three Caballeros sequel.
And then Coat Rack, a really foofy assistant dude, and a... just a big dumb guy. That'd be perfect. It should be like a high school spin-off.
High School Musical 4.
Yeah, perfect. Okay. So anyway, now that tangent is done.
So actually the actual movie that was presented had this story.
Not as cool. So they go ice skating. Bill is unreasonably good at ice skating. I'm not really sure why that is.
How often does stuff freeze in France? I have no concept
of, I don't know where they are in France. Like, you know, France is a pretty big country, so, like, it varies.
In a little town in a quiet village.
Where every day is, like, the one before.
That's about all the geographic locale I can give you.
It would snow enough, probably, all wherever they are. I mean, it definitely depends on where they are, but, like, there are places in France where it snows quite a bit, so. All
right.
But she's unrealistically good at skating. And the Beast comes to skate with her. He does not have skates. I'm not really sure who thought this was a good idea.
They let cartoon animals do that a lot.
They do, but like in like Bambi and stuff, it's like silly and delightful. In this, he's trying to be like serious about it, and I'm like, what are you doing?
Okay, I'd like to direct you to the moment that King Kong ice skated in King Kong.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
So on the scale of animal skating, this is not the crowning jewel.
Yeah, okay. It's just odd. Anyway, So, yeah. I don't remember if there's any context to this sudden pipe organ.
Well, okay, here's the thing about the skating real quick. I don't know how Belle would know that he can skate on just his claws. Because she's like, let's skate! Here's my one pair of skates.
Yeah, that is a little odd. So. Why would she have ice skates at that?
Why
does the wardrobe have dresses all in her size?
The wardrobe probably has a lot of dresses. There's probably a lot of, you know... In a case of company,
things,
you know.
I guess, with, like, ice skates?
I mean, you know, one of the people... All these things used to be people. Yeah. Only one of them had to be Belle-sized for there to be a whole wardrobe of stuff for her.
Yeah, but, like, fancy stuff? They're all servants.
Okay, but they wear pretty fancy stuff for Christmas parties and stuff. I mean, Lumiere does.
But, like, the Belle-Gan seems... So. Anyway, ice skate seems a little weird. Is there some sort of transition to the pipe organ? I can't remember.
I think isn't there just like a pan up to the window and
okay. The
music's playing?
So, the villain in this story is a pipe organ.
The villain in this story is Tim Curry.
The villain in this story is a pipe organ voiced by Tim Curry.
Which would have been the worst villain, except it's voiced by Tim Curry, thus best villain.
It's like a really terribly CG'd too. So, like, he looks really out of place and super ugly. Like, if you can imagine a really ugly pipe organ, that's what it looks like. If you can't imagine a really ugly pipe organ, then you're very, very lucky.
I do remember, because I got this, I guess, in 97, but I did get the VHS of this for Christmas one year, and so I remember watching it, like, Christmas morning, and the pipe organ looked so weirdly out of place, because, yeah, he's totally CG face and stuff. Yeah.
I think I maybe saw this bits and pieces. I don't think I saw this in full until college, probably. So So.
Well, that's why you don't like it.
I don't have nostalgia.
You didn't see it until you were dead inside.
Thanks, Joel. Thanks. So yeah, it is the ugliest organs. And his little sidekick is called Fife.
Fife.
But it's not a fife at all. It's like some sort of bastard child of a recorder and a flute. With like those little pads. It's shit. No. It's not a fife. That's not what a fife looks like at all. Weirdly.
Okay.
Weirdly, at the end when he's a human, he's actually playing a fife. It's an actual fife.
Okay,
so
well.
So they know what one looks like, so they can't excuse it. It's
just well, weird. Okay, but you know. Everybody's name is kind of what they are.
Yeah.
Except for Mrs. Potts. She's Mrs. Potts. Potts. She's a pot. So,
yeah,
but you know,
the
Chip
organ's
is like,
name is Forte, by the way.
Yes, Forte. And his motivation in this movie is a little weird. I'll give you that.
Okay, so his motivation in this movie is that if the he doesn't want the beast to turn back into a human. If a beast turned back into a human, he'll be happy, and then he won't like his music anymore, because he makes really dumb, sad music. And it's the... Oh, God, what is that sad, flimsy character motivation? I just can't even. For an organ. Chained to a wall.
That's the thing, is like, he got the worst lot of them all. Of all... Him and, like, the boiler downstairs.
Yeah.
Who are, like, bolted to things.
Yeah. And, like, he's like, no, I can't turn back into a human because the beast won't love me anymore. Basically.
And he even points out, like, they make a point of, like, oh, I'll just pick myself up. I'm bolted to the wall.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's dialogue in the movie. That,
it's so weird.
So, yeah.
I don't even.
I will totally confess to, like, he is not, he does not have the best character motivation of any Disney villain.
Yeah.
So.
It's a little dumb.
Meanwhile, back on the grounds, he sends Fife to stop the beast from being happy.
Yeah. So, like, they fall in the snow. The beast and Belle fall in the snow. And Belle's like, whatever, making snow angels. Except for she calls it a Christmas angel. I'm like, since when is snow angels a secular, non-secular thing? Like, where did this happen? I don't know.
Maybe when we stopped getting Christmas break in school and we got winter break, then fine, but we're taking snow angels.
Christmas angel. Okay. Whatever. So the beast gets really grumpy because his angel doesn't look right. And, like,
but
he doesn't even try.
He just sits down and gets up. Beast.
That's not how the angel works, dude. If you'd actually done it properly, he's got a tail. This should be easier for him. But apparently not. So he's all grumpy and dumb.
He does.
He's always grumpy and dumb.
Well, he didn't even know what a snow angel was until, like, he had already gotten up.
Sorry,
it's like he took a test for a thing he hadn't studied.
I'm sorry, Joel. Did you mean a Christmas angel?
Maybe that's a really accurate Christmas angel. You don't know what a Christmas angel looks like.
I don't know that there's a difference between a Christmas angel and other kinds of angels, Joel. I don't see why they would be any different from regular ones.
I would think, like, the ones specifically in the announcing the birth, like, chorus, get to be Christmas angels.
Well, yeah, but they're angels the rest of the year. It's not like they only exist seasonally.
No,
these are limited time angels, people.
It's like an honorary title in the angel ranking hierarchy.
I don't think that's
it's like a Christmas elf. So, you know, Legolas is still
even though he doesn't celebrate
Christmas.
But Christmas elves are entirely different from Legolas. No, Tolkien doesn't have Christmas elves. Tolkien doesn't have Christmas.
I know, that's why they're not Christmas elves. That's my exact point.
But that's an entirely different type of being. And, like, canon, for that matter. If we're going Christianity canon, I think they're angels the rest of the year. Anyway.
Whatever, make us snow angels.
And then the beast is suddenly just, like, really grumpy with Christmas. Just, I hate Christmas. All of a sudden, just no reason. Okay. And Chip asks Belle what Christmas is. And she, like, okay, the thing that bothers me most about this movie is exemplified in this thing that Belle tells Chip. And she's basically just like, everyone celebrates Christmas. It's the best thing in the world. And there's, like, first of all, she doesn't explain Christmas at all. She just says that it's wonderful and that there's food and stuff. And also, she keeps insisting that everyone celebrates Christmas. And also, like, they don't talk about Christmas in a religious sense whatsoever. So it's this weird, like, Christmas is a wonderful time full of hope and joy and tinsel and stuff, but no religious connotations whatsoever. And it's really awkward.
Okay, that's kind of how all Christmas movies are, though.
Well, yeah, but normally there's some sort of, like, the other story to go on that doesn't involve, like, you know, Santa stories, it's fine to be like, yeah, Christmas, okay. But, like, this, where, like, there should definitely be, if you're explaining Christmas to somebody, you should probably be like, Christianity is the religion that, you know, like, that should probably start what's going on.
Okay, to compare it, there is one thing, the Bernstein Bears had a video special where they explained Easter and did not mention religion. And that did really weird me out.
That's very odd.
It is like, what does Easter mean? And it was like, sunshine.
Flowers and
honey. It means sunshine. So, I'll disagree, but accept that.
I mean, it would be one thing if it was like, you know, Arbor Day or something. But something with that much religious connotation, it's really weird to be like,
I mean, like, there's no religious connotation in, like, Elf.
No. Or,
like, I mean, I don't think anybody's,
but there's the overall, like, cultural tradition of, like, Santa to go on for most Christmas movies that are not religiously based.
Okay, alright, I'll give you that. But nobody gives, you know, nobody's kid's like, what's Christmas, Mom? He's like, what's Beauty and the Beast and Jimmy Christmas?
No.
All your questions will
No, but it's weird that in the context
It's a movie for people who already know what Christmas is.
I know, but it's weird that in the context of the movie that explanation is not given to this character who doesn't know what Christmas is.
I will totally give you that.
And it's especially weird that Belle keeps insisting that Christmas is for everyone. No, Belle, Christmas is not for everyone. I'm sorry.
She does say that a lot.
Maybe you should talk to, like, Jasmine or Pocahontas or Mulan, someone who doesn't celebrate Christmas, or at least shouldn't. That's really weird to me on merchandise when they have, like,
the Christmas version of,
well, I mean, I can kind of excuse the Christmassy time ones because they're normally just wintry. They've got, like, capes and snowflakes and stuff. That's fine. But the Easter ones, I have seen Jasmine on Easter stuff and I'm like, are you sure? Is that really who you want to be going with? Okay.
I've seen, I'm trying to think of, I had some Pokemon Easter stuff once.
It's weird.
Was
it Executor? Dainted up. That's all I want in life.
Mom, real quick, that's funny because Executor's made out of eggs. He's a Pokemon that's made out of eggs. So let me explain that real quick. Because I know you listen to this.
Hi, Joel's mom! it's weird to me. I don't know. It's strange to, like, be like, everyone, Christmas is for everyone.
So she decides to make him a book.
Yep, just a book.
This song has stayed in my head for some reason for years. Yep. Like, in the years between 98 and then maybe, like, 2008 that I didn't see, I still remember the song and had no idea where it came from. This was an amazing revelation to learn where this song was from.
Well, Cogsworth, before that, tries to be like, let's not celebrate Christmas. The Beast doesn't like Christmas. It's not good for him. Let's not. And Belle's basically just like, childhood drama! Screw that! It's Christmas time! Too bad! So, yeah, she makes, she sings a song about Christmas. She sings a song about, like, decorating for Christmas, basically.
Is the I'll read them stories with picture books and mighty dragons and,
wait a minute, I'm trying to remember where that goes.
It's the one with the different animation, which I really liked. And
I like it
when they do that kind of thing where, like, they have different, starkly different animation for one song.
Yeah.
It totally might have been for budgetary reasons this time around.
It's very weird.
It's stained glass picture books, minimal animation movement.
It's pretty, kind of, I guess. But it seems odd.
I mean, I liked it. Know. It's not... A recurring problem in this movie is that none of these songs are really necessary or important.
Or that good. I like the Christmassy one. As long as there's Christmas. That one's fine.
Yeah.
But everything else is like that
one. You really like that one? Because that one is tailor-made more than any other Disney song to go over the credits in a 90s pop ballad.
It's true.
Oh man, like hearing that song, that's the one like, they did the credits version first. And then they did this.
Yeah. I know, it's catchy.
None of the songs are bad. None of them are like the one from last time where they sang about the Oracle, right before the Oracle. I can't remember the song.
I don't remember any of those songs. All of them have immediately fallen out of my brain.
But, I mean, they're forgettable, but they're okay.
Okay, so she makes this, like, ridiculous, giant, fully illuminated, hand-bound book in, like, the span of a song.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know why.
Since this movie takes place over 2 days, was like maybe 90 minutes max.
And then she binds it backwards. Because the top page says fin, which means the end.
Yeah, she does bind it backwards.
Belle.
I did not remember that.
Belle.
there's no defending that
what
part of
this
movie.
What are you doing?
That book was totally bound backwards.
Okay. So, yeah. Also, I found that like... That entire, okay, if all of those things that were in that song had all of that, were in that book, like, it's a really rambly weird book.
And we never find out.
No, we don't.
I'm a little upset about that, although it could not live up to what Bella's promising in this song.
Yeah, no.
This is the greatest book ever.
Okay.
This is the scene where they convince Cogsworth, because this is the one where the glasses have mouths.
Yeah, that's... God,
so, they very specifically did not have mouths last time.
And this time they have mouths.
Although the forks did,
like,
and that was weird.
Little whiny voices. Like,
I assume that was on purpose, that the wine glasses whined a lot.
Oh, I didn't get that. That's clever.
Yeah, no, it's
I don't know that they thought it through that much.
Except now the glasses all have holes in them because they have mouths.
It's true.
And like, try and pour some.
So blah, blah. Weird. Okay, now they sing about decorations and turkey and stuff,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, this is the one where they convince Cogsworth and they go up to the attic.
Okay. You know what bothers me?
What?
They talk about turkey. I don't think they eat turkey that much in Europe.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think that's a thing.
I don't know the dietary customs of period France, I'm sorry.
Well, okay, maybe not period France, but like, I'm pretty sure that turkey is more of a North American thing as far as, like, large fowl goes, eating-wise. They'd probably have, like, goose.
Sure.
Goose is probably even easier to rhyme, so why go with turkey?
Do they rhyme something with turkey? I don't remember.
Probably, I don't know. Anyway, so, that just bothers me. It's weird to be like, turkey, wait a minute.
So they go up into the attic. And remember how we were complaining about how, like, it must suck to be, like, a dinner plate instead of anything helpful?
Yeah.
Christmas ornament has to be the worst thing to get turned into.
I'm still really not sure that anyone is actually a Christmas ornament other than Angelique, which is extra weird. So, okay, they find this girl, her name is Angelique, and she's a Christmas ornament. She's an angel. She's the angel that goes on top of the tree.
Yep.
What I don't understand is, okay, she's, like, the castle decorator, and that's their excuse for turning her into that, but, like... Would she not decorate for other things that could be more, like, useful on a regular basis? Like, anything else?
I would assume that all the balls have their own, like, you know, unique theme, like the enchantment under the sea ball or something. And so, like, she has to, like, have new things for all of that. So, I think Christmas might be the only, like, yearly thing.
I'm sorry, I just realized that you basically proposed bad prom at the Beast Castle. Ariel will feel right at home.
It's from Back to the Future.
I know, but it's a bad prom theme. Okay, so her name is Angelique, and she's an angel, and that's really dumb. And also, she's been shut up in the attic for, I don't know why she couldn't leave the attic. Why couldn't she just get out?
The box was heavy. I don't know.
Poor Angelique's been trapped in the attic forever.
10 years.
She's a little bit grumpy about it.
Yep. I guess, you know, I don't know how the attic door works, so it's very possible you can't open it up from the inside.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know exactly, like, when they got turned into stuff, did they just get turned in where they were standing?
Yeah.
Or did, like, they have an inanimate, you know, angel and, like, her spirity parts go into
the angel. Because
if the angels, although, you know, if the curse happened at Christmas, then the angels would be on the tree. So, I don't know. Somebody had to take down all the stuff and still put it back in the attic. And they were all, like, clocks and candles. So the beast probably had to do that. She should just be lucky she's not broken.
Yeah, because
she's made out of delicate stuff.
Supposedly.
Okay. That was the other thing. When those, like, little Christmas ornaments were jumping for joy, I was like, those are gonna break. That's so dangerous to do when you're a glass ball.
It's okay. They're like the plastic guys. You'll be all right. So, okay. She sings another song. It's time for As Long As It's Christmas.
Yep.
There are a lot of songs in this movie.
There are a lot of songs, and they're all by Belle, except for two.
Yeah.
So Belle just has to sing a lot in this movie.
I don't quite remember the context of this comment, but I wrote, you burned a tree into our beautiful molding. Hurrah! Does she burn a tree into the wall?
Lumiere does.
He does
some wood burning on the molding.
Into the nice baroque molding.
But, like, that's all he can reach, so...
Well, maybe you shouldn't burn anything, Joel. I think we know what a tree looks like.
That's his one shtick. Oh, this is the Yule log. They have to go get the Yule log.
Wait. Yeah. No, it's a flashback first.
Oh, is this where they,
Yeah. Okay, so, like, the original story happened at Christmas, and they explain in the flashback.
This story does work better in stained glass form.
Yeah, it's not so great looking, and it feels really awkward and, like, forced.
This is the one part of the movie that I can, like, objectively look and be like, I wish they hadn't done that. But that's largely because it was so majestically fairy tale styled.
Yeah.
Like the beginning
of
the movie.
And now it just seems like petulant 12-year-old gets angry at old woman. Like, awkward.
So,
I don't like him so much anymore.
Yeah. It was not so good. And it didn't... I don't know. Like, I totally get what they were going for. Is like, you know, Christmas is a special time of anger for the beast. Which, you know, makes sense with the whole, like, why he hates Christmas and bans Christmas and stuff. But that, you know, he's a grumpy guy.
Yeah.
So I would have totally been fine, though. No, he just really doesn't like Christmas. It's, you know, it saddens him because of Christmas.
Yeah.
So I would have skipped that part.
But also, the character design for the Enchantress was awful. So nothing like the original one.
Oh, yeah. Well, she was made out of stained glass in the original.
Well, yeah, but, like, there was no, like, it didn't... No. It was not a good translation. So, okay, now we go to get the oral log. And there are 1,200 pointy stick fireplace people. You know, all those, like, pointy, sticky fireplace
things. Pokers?
Well, pokers and little shovel things and the little broomy doodads. Just pointy people.
Yeah, your fireplace carrying kit.
Yeah. Pointy stick people, which is weird. And how do you get that job? How do you end up a pointy stick?
I don't know. Again,
they just like hop around too, and I'm like, isn't this dangerous?
Again, this castle, like at least a good third of France has to live in this castle.
Seriously.
For all of these things to have been people at some point.
So they go to the boilers. And the ridiculously Jewish axe is there. He's like the most stereotypically Jewish thing ever.
He is the Mel Brooks of axes.
It's true. And he's an axe. I don't know why. Was he a lumberjack?
Sure.
Oh my god. The ridiculously Jewish lumberjack? That's like some sort of bad joke. Okay. So...
I mean, we never see the human version of the axe, so I don't have any context.
No, it doesn't. Party.
He's probably chopping wood to keep everybody else warm.
So sad. She's going to find a Yule log, right?
Yes.
And then the beast comes down and he's really grumpy about it, about the log.
Is this a real thing? Because this is the only context I've ever heard of a Yule log.
Okay, the only actual... Okay, I've heard of... They kind of... Mostly I hear about Yule logs in the context of cake.
Yeah.
Yule log cake. Then you make the cute little Yule log, like, rolled up cake with the little, like,
doodads?
Mushrooms. And you make little mushrooms out of, like, what's it called?
Doodads?
No, stop!
And what's it what?
No, the, I can't remember. Anyway, yeah, mushrooms.
Alright.
And Yule logs that are cakes. that I think, I don't know.
But you
I
don't much like, about the wish on it and then burn it.
I think you might. I don't know.
Why do you have to make it out of cake then?
Oh, no, not that you oh, okay. You eat that one.
Okay, good.
Cake.
That makes so much more
sense. You definitely don't burn it. That would be dumb.
So, yeah, anyway, Belle's thing is you have to find a Yule log, which just has to be a pretty log, I suppose.
Guess.
And everybody makes a wish on it, and then they burn it, and the wishes go up into the sky where they become stars. I don't know.
Was that part of the thing? I thought it was just you make a wish on it, and then you burn it.
No, that's a that's an Always Sunny in Philadelphia reference.
Good job.
Carrying on.
So Beast gets really angry.
Yeah, this is where the Beast finds out what Belle's up to.
And then Belle decides to have Christmas anyway for the fourth time. No, seriously, this is like the fourth time she's like, fine, I love Christmas anyway. And I'm like, dude, maybe you should just not have Christmas. Or like not involve him or have very small Christmas. She's like, let's decorate the whole damn castle. And I'm like, is this really necessary? You keep being like, Christmas is about hope and love. Are you sure it's not about the big damn tree? Because that's what you seem to be making this about, Belle. Anyway, so she leaves him his book.
Yes. And then goes out to
find a tree.
Find a tree.
And she takes the ridiculously stereotypical Jewish axe with her.
Can you just say axe at one point in this podcast? Or is that his full name, ridiculously stereotypical Jewish axe?
I guess I'll just call him. He doesn't even have a name!
No, he's not. He's the axe.
God, that's sad. Okay. So, anyway, he's like a fairly major recurring character. I would say he's in here as much as Angelique is.
Yeah, but Angelique's on the cover of the VHS.
And she gets a name and a backstory and everything, and he's just, oh, you know, the axe over there. Like, hangs out with the pointy people. So, okay. It's time for Joel's favorite quote of this
movie. Oh, yes! Oh, I'm so excited.
Okay, so.
So the setup is that Beast is angry.
Yeah.
And so he sees Belle has left the book in it. She's wrapped it and left it present style beside the rose.
Mm-hmm.
And so Beast sees it and Lumiere sees it and he goes, it's from a girl. And the Beast looked like he's walked out of the room and he does this head lean back in and he goes, Mrs. Potts!
For some reason, Joe, this is the funniest thing. And it's pretty funny.
So
actually.
Funny. It's just, it is so funny. And it is so beautifully delivered.
It is probably the best comedic moment in this movie, hands down.
It is the best. It is definitely the best intentionally comedic moment in any Disney sequel.
Yeah, probably.
And might be, like, top five funniest moments in Disney history.
Okay, Joel. That's a little ambitious.
I am, no. He is just so, so genuinely confused why Mrs. Potts would give him something.
And B, what other girls could exist other than Mrs. Potts? Okay, so then there's this weird, weird little, like, 5 minutes of Beast grumpiness with very strange animation. I don't know, everything's just, like, slightly off, and it's really weird looking, and he's just grumpy and talking to, Forte about being grumpy.
I don't even remember this. this isn't a song, though. This is...
No.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so, anyway.
Well, Belle and the axe have walked around the grounds.
Yeah.
Looking for the perfect tree.
Mm-hmm.
And Chip is a stickler for getting a nice tree.
Yeah.
And so, nothing on the ground satisfies, and Forte convinces Fife to go and convince Belle to go out into the Black Forest. Which they've, you know, previously established is not a good place to go.
They gotta leave the axe out in the snow, though, first.
Yeah, that's the scene. Megan hates this scene.
It's really weird. So they're like, nope, I'm not gonna take the... Well, first of all, she, like, starts to chop down a tree, and it's just... The concept of chopping down a tree with somebody's face is really strange in the first place. But then she's just like, no, she gets distracted by the music.
Oh, like, yeah.
Here's the music. I'll just leave this axe out in the snow. She just leaves him.
Okay, that axe is so fully capable of moving on his own.
Yeah, but like,
he's like the size and density of Lumiere, and nobody ever like is like, oh, Lumiere, you have, you know, 40 feet to go. Heaven help us, you shan't be able to make it on your own.
Like out in the middle of the grounds in the snow, and he's got a peg to hop on back to the castle.
He's hopped on that peg for 10 years.
He's carrying Chip anyway. It's so weird.
He's probably going to stumble around once he gets that second leg back. He's going to be so unused to a bilateral stance system.
Peg leg the X-Man. We're never going to know his name. He'll just be peg leg.
You don't even know, because you never saw him as human. He might only have one leg for all you know. This might be his only way he knows how to move.
Perhaps. Anyway, so, yeah.
She's lured back to the castle, and this is where Forte says you should go out in the Black Forest, and there's a nice tree out there.
And,
they go out in the Black Forest, and there's a nice tree out there.
Yeah, and then they all go to find Belle, because...
Well, the thing is, like, they do a super good job, and are really safe, and successfully get this tree.
It's true.
And, like, nothing would have gone wrong, except Fife has to ruin everything.
Yeah.
And so, and I guess Forte lets the beast know, because he goes and saves them.
Yeah.
So, this is a thing where, like, it's really, everything that happens here is so understandable. Like, the horse gets scared.
Yeah.
Like, that makes so much sense.
Philippe.
Poor Philippe.
Philippe gets scared pretty easily for such a big horse. He's like this giant horse. Like.
Well, he's lived his entire life in a little town in the Quiet Village, where every day is like the one before, so when different things start happening, Philippe can't handle it.
It's true. Philippe has trust issues. He's
probably a pretty old horse, too.
I don't know. Why?
He's big.
That's not how horses are. Horses are fully grown pretty quickly, Joel.
I know, but I assume, like, it's, you know, Belle's father's horse, and, you know... You know, bonded with that horse that Belle's only childhood friend.
I don't think he's that old.
It was, you know, I don't know, that I got that impression. There's no real definitive evidence stuff. Oh, wow, that's a revolutionary tactic.
Uh-huh.
No, but watching Beauty and the Beast as a kid, I got the impression that Philippe was like a long-time compatriot of the Belle family. What's their last name?
They don't have a last name.
Oh, the... Belle and Belle's dad family.
Maurice,
that's his name. Crazy old Maurice.
Crazy old is their last name. They just switched it around.
Maurice, comma, crazy old.
Asian style,
So the beast saves everybody from breaking ice. And the beast makes everybody walk back. Axe and everybody.
Actually, yeah.
So the axe and the clock and the, you know, candlestick all have to walk back.
Yep.
So I think, you know, in the scale of carrying offerings,
I guess I was
Belle is not the worst.
No. Okay. And the beast thinks that she was trying to run away, so he locks her up. Like, okay, so in the original story of Beauty and the Beast, it was a little weird to me that she was suddenly like, all is forgiven, like that time you locked me in a dungeon and attacked me and yelled at me, and, like, that's a little weird to me, but this movie just makes it, like, 5 times worse. Like, he does all of this terrible crap, and, like, remember that time that you got dressed up real nice and we danced out nice? Let's get married. All of these things are, like, so inexcusable to me. Like, I would never marry a dude who locked me up several times. Like, not just once. This is several times. And it's so weird. And, like, it just makes their love story less believable and more creepy to me. Which is not a good thing.
Well... Next week we're gonna be doing like 4 shorts of Beauty and the Beast. How many times you wanna put a bet on it?
Oh god.
Out of the 4, how many times do you think Belle's getting locked up?
10. Every 5 minutes.
Twice in a short.
Yep.
So
okay. And then there's an As Long As There's Christmas reprise. Well, Belle is sad.
Yep.
I like this version actually. I like this version better than the original version because it's Angelique and Belle singing together and I like the duet. It's nice.
Somebody in Belle let somebody else sing for once.
I know, right? Especially because I think that the singing for Belle was kind of overdone in this movie. Like, in the original, it's nice and it's fine. But, like, in this one, I feel like she's trying too hard. Does that make sense?
Well, you know, Belle didn't, like, the song to come out of Beauty and the Beast was, like, Angela Lansbury doing it grumpily once. Like, she so did not want to do that song.
And it's perfect. Because Angela Lansbury.
So, a little bit like, she's like, oh, I'm getting my song in this movie.
Apparently. And then there was a dance, and it was really dumb. She definitely dances by herself.
Yeah. She does dance by herself.
So sad.
Belle has to do a lot of stuff by herself, probably, in her year in the castle.
So, the Beast opens his book, and it's a story about the Beast, which is kind of weird. Like, I wrote you self fan fiction for your for Christmas. It's wonderful.
Oh, this is after Don't Fall in Love, though, isn't it?
Don't Fall in Love was way back there.
Yeah. Don't Fall in Love is happens after he locks her up.
No, Don't Fall in Love happens before they find the tree.
Oh, does it really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So this song happens where the Forte gets to sing.
Well, okay, like, Tim Curry singing, A+, good job, Tim Curry, yay. Like, it's a song about how awful love is, and, like, he's so poorly worded, and, like,
Honestly, Iago did this better. Like,
he did, 2 times ago, like,
this was better done than Gilbert Gottfried sang.
Yeah, his song is so much catchier, and I actually, like, remember it.
Yeah.
We totally, like, skipped over it.
We did skip over it. And, okay, so... Here's the thing. I remember when we were talking about Lion King, and when I was a really young kid, I thought that Scar had magic powers because of Be Prepared.
Yeah.
This song is so much more confusing whether that green stuff is, like, metaphorical song things, or if, like, he can actually spit out magic green misty stuff to affect
things. And, like,
things.
Yeah, it gets much worse at the end. Like, he mysteriously has magical powers, basically.
Yeah, so...
It's weird. It's really weird, and this song is super forgettable and dumb.
a lot of it is because, you know, lackluster bad guy motivation kind of leads to lackluster bad guy song.
That's true.
Like, those things go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Wait till we get to Hunchback 2.
Oh, God.
Wait till we get to
Hunchback 2. I don't even want to talk about Hunchback 2. I don't even want to think about it. I want it to not exist.
I'm so excited for that movie, too, just because a list of growing complaints just from memory.
Oh, God. Okay. So.
So this, and then, so we get to the pointless duet.
This is the least useful song I've ever heard.
This is a really unnecessary song.
Especially because Lumiere and Cogsworth are not the main characters of this movie.
No.
At all.
I mean, it's so very much put in to give them a song.
It's so dumb. It's like a cut above the rest, I guess you mean. It's really dumb. Okay.
It's not a bad song, but it is the prime example of, like, unnecessary forgettable song in this movie of, you know, pretty unnecessary forgettable songs.
Yeah.
Like, admittedly so. But it's obviously because, like, we did Be Our Guest last time, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
We can't not have Lumiere sing a song.
Yeah. But so. It's really dumb.
Okay.
And then it's Christmas. Like, actual Christmas.
Yeah.
Forte is really angry.
Well, Beast reads the book and feels bad, and so he's gonna give Belle Christmas, and Forte's angry.
Yeah.
And so he breaks the castle with music.
Like, pulls it apart.
I mean, I guess it's just,
I have so many confusion. Just
well,
so much.
This is added to the, like, he must have, you know, he must have green magic to...
Why? Why is he more magic? Because he's angry?
my deeply, like, thought this out as a kid rationale for it, which makes a lot of sense, although I doubt it was actually put into it, is because he is literally part of the enchanted castle. The castle itself
is enchanted.
Magic. Yes. So.
That's a bit of a stretch, but whatever. It's the closest explanation we're gonna get.
I mean,
so he pulls the castle apart, which, like, did they fix it? How did they fix it?
I assume they closed that wing off because there's a dead organ in there. Like,
okay.
There's a dead face hanging on the wall.
So creepy. Please jump. Oh my God, do they go back when everybody's a human again and he's just a dead guy there?
I'm like, well, he's easier to move now.
Oh God, that's so weird.
Oh man.
This movie is so messed up. Okay, so... He pulls the castle apart with music-y, magic-y stuff.
He did this thing way early in the movie where he, like, made a really loud piano bang and it cracked the windows.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit foreshadowing that he does have that power. He's like, he can play loud enough that it will literally send shockwaves through the castle.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's got to be somehow attached to the castle to kind of, you know, like, maybe he's built on the structural integrity beam or something. I don't know. But he whatever it is, he has the ability to, like, bring the castle down. And so Beast...
He attacks Belle and the Beast.
Beast throws the keyboard at him.
Beast destroys the keyboard. And then all the pipes and stuff fall over. And I think he just killed a man.
I mean...
That's really weird.
So, it's, you know... He says something. Whenever he's saying something, and as, like, his dying wheeze noise is almost exactly the same dying wheeze noise from Ferngully.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Tim Curry does this, like, giant face character bad guy thing a lot that makes a dying wheeze noise when it dies.
Oh my god, though. He's so much better in Ferngully.
Well, Ferngully, like... They could get away with, like, it's an evil thing. Now it's like,
Hex
it's
a super petty creepy
man crush on the Beast.
Super creepy. It's like oily, gross stuff. And the full version of that song, have you ever heard the full version of that song?
Oh, it's so good.
Holy crap. It's so good. And, like, oddly sexual. Whatever, Tim Curry.
So,
this is just, like, the most pathetic use of Tim Curry bad guy powers.
I mean... Tim Curry is the saving grace to this character.
It's true.
And by large, by default, that the saving grace to this movie, because, like, this goes from terrible bad guy to okay bad guy because of Tim Curry.
Basically. So it's finally Christmas, and, they have Christmas time, basically.
Yes. Yes, they have.
Oh, and they go back to, like, regular modern.
Yes,
day,
yeah, basically. They go back because the whole thing was in flashback, and then we finally get to see Belle in her, like, enchanted Christmas dress that she's always marketed in.
I like that dress.
So, it's a good dress. But it's in the movie for like a minute and a half.
It is.
But it's although a nice I guess the yellow dress isn't an actual Beauty and the Beast that much.
That
either.
Long either. No.
So, I have not been able to, like, fully legitimately confirm this. But I have found several sources saying that in the script for this movie, he is called Prince Adam in this scene. So the whole, like, you know, he doesn't have a name and it's Adam, but it's only Adam in, like, a video game somewhere. So,
I mean, they definitely didn't name him in the original.
Yeah.
Which I think is weird. Like, wouldn't you think about that? I feel like so many people think about that I'm really surprised nobody on staff was like, what's this dude's name? Does he have a name? He's gotta have a name. So it's odd. I don't know. And there's even been, like, I've heard that the directors, like, joked about it. Like, somebody said that they named him Tyrone. I remember. And I was like, that's funny and silly. Why didn't you name this dude? It's weird.
So, for lack of a better name, he's Adam.
Yeah, Adam is fine. Whatever. Fife is okay.
Fife
so
is
that's
okay.
Good. And he's playing an actual fife, which is nice. And he writes much better music.
Yeah.
Than Forte did. So that's good.
Oh, wait. We totally forgot. When Beast tried to make a Christmas present for Belle.
Oh, yeah.
And he made Forte
play.
Vis-a-vis Tim Curry sing Bells of Holly. Deck the Halls.
Deck the Halls, yeah. Oh god, it was so bad.
It was pretty amazing.
It was really funny.
It's the second funniest part of this movie.
Okay, yeah, I would agree with that. And then the Beast gives Belle a rose for Christmas.
You don't think they have enough roses in back history?
I know.
Like,
I know.
You want to talk about, you know,
and
trauma and trigger-inducing things.
She doesn't get anything for him. And then they don't even kiss. And that's the end of the movie. And I'm like, guys, what a terrible Christmas.
Well, like, they turn to, like, look out over their castle grounds. And it's supposed to be really nice. And I'm like, I wonder if they swap ponytail tips.
They got nice ponytails, man.
It's like identical ponytails going down their back.
So perfect.
I'm like, well, that's nice. You can wake up in the morning and bond over how you're doing your ponytail today.
Can you do my ponytail? I'll do yours. Yeah, basically.
So, and
but it just seems, like, really awkward. Like, here's your Christmas present, Belle. I got you a rose. I didn't get you anything. I just stare at the moon.
I made you person. We're good for like the next 10 years on Christmas presents.
Awkward.
I mean, if he's only going to get her a rose, like, you know.
A peck on the cheek, I feel like, would suffice, really.
And I guess, technically, she didn't get her anything last year because she never heard Tim Curry sing Deck the Halls.
So it's just repayment.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. So
they give each other gifts every other Christmas.
They rule a kingdom. You think they can afford gifts?
No, I know, right? You're a princess. Get them a gift. The last year you, like, illuminated a book in half an hour. You could probably manage something good. So, yeah.
I mean, I guess the castle's not enchanted anymore. And any like, crazy thing, you're like, enchanted castle. Whatever.
I guess so.
But that's Beauty and the Beast, the Enchanted Christmas.
It's weird as hell, you guys.
It's, I mean, it's so problematic, and,
it's
you know.
A mess.
But, you know, whatever, Christmas.
That's Joel's excuse. I don't have that luxury.
Like, I'm totally not gonna, you know, knock down anybody for having genuine problems with this movie, because it's genuinely problematic. But at the same time, it's got a lot of, like, redeeming, endearing qualities. The animation is actually pretty good in this. And, you know, its biggest downfall is having to compare it to Beauty and the Beast.
I think its biggest downfall is its really, really flimsy plot.
I meant animation-wise. Is having to compare it to Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
Is. So,
It's like a cardboard cutout of a plot. It's like if you poke at it wrong, it'll fall over.
So.
And probably tear a castle apart while you're at it.
But, there's a lot of great parts in this movie. And we're you know, let's compare it to the other lineup, so.
I haven't watched the rest of them yet. And, like, I enjoyed the previous two probably more than this one, even with wonky Aladdin animation. At least the songs were catchy and memorable.
The songs were definitely better in both Aladdin's, except for the one that we can't remember.
What's that one? I don't even know.
It's like Always Been Right There, or As Long As You're Up In The Air, or I don't know, something like that. I don't know. Worst song we've heard so far.
Yeah.
In this whole entire podcast.
Yeah, totally.
Worst
totally
song.
Terrible. Yeah.
So.
Although I'm sure it'll only get worse.
Yes, it will. But, you know, it was worse than Cut Above the Rest, which was probably the worst song in this one.
No, I really didn't like,
Don't Fall in Love?
Now. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or Deck the Halls. Deck the Halls best song.
Deck the Halls, Don't Fall in Love is a terrible one.
It wasn't a great song, but it's more necessary. It's like, it has a better place and plot.
Yeah, okay.
Than Cut Above the Rest, so
that's
I would rank it.
I think it's better. More disappointing because Jim Curry. It could be so much better.
Right, fair enough.
But yeah, this is silly.
But that's Beauty and the Beast. Whatever, Christmas.
Basically.
Alright, next time, we will continue on the Beauty and the Beast downward slope.
Oh, God. It's only gonna get worse.
We are doing Belle's Magical World.
Yep.
And to explain to you the weird history of Belle's Magical World. Belle's Magical World is a, you know, it was one of those ones where it was like three episodes of a TV show that never aired. It was a thing where there was actually a TV show planned. Here's three episodes of it that never aired, got smushed into a movie. There was another episode that they released eventually in another VHS called Belle Tells of Friendship, which was live action Belle, and she had moved back to France to a little town, quiet village, to open up a bookshop. I assume to take over the bookshop, because there's already a bookshop in that town.
Yeah, seriously.
So she took it over.
She doesn't want to compete with a nice old dude who was like her only
who gave
friendly
her books,
acquaintance.
And then she turns around and sells those books.
Anyway.
So, and little kids come in and like, read us a story, Belle. And so then there's like the Walt Disney like Three Little Pigs short. And they also stick the fourth Beauty and the Beast episode in that
there.
VHS. When it came out on DVD, they took that fourth one, they put all four on Belle's Magical World. Belle Tells of Friendship is not on DVD.
It's so confusing, you guys. We're going to watch some more Beauty and the Beast stuff next week.
So, we'll watch DVD Belle's Magical World.
Yes.
Which will cover Tales of Friendship. And I don't think the live-action segments will merit their own podcast.
No, probably not.
So, until next time, bye guys.
Bye everybody. When it comes to making Christmas
special. I'm a cut above the rest.
If you could see things clearly, you would say that I've been blessed.
You can't hold a candle to my timing.
I'm a cut above the rest.
You belong side by side. You should never be apart. 'Cause when you're both together...